Read the analysis. Five takeaways from another disheartening loss by our buddy Scott Petrak, who joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Scott, you sum it up pretty well. The Browns were better Sunday in the 2016 loss in Philadelphia. It's not enough, not even close. And then you make more great points. They were better yesterday, and you still lost a football game that I think you had every chance to win.
Yeah, I think that's the state of this organization right now, Jeff. It's not even close to being good enough. When you see slight improvements, the run game was better. You get a huge play from Myles Garrett and Rodney McLeod on that block field goal for a touchdown. It's still not enough, and there's still major issues that they have not been able to address or fix and not be able to overcome. And most of those are a quarterback and on offense.
So, Scott, if you were the head coach of this team, what do you do first?
Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, okay, that's a tough question there, fellas.
Man, if you want, I mean, I could go, how's the weather? How's your golf game? You're putting okay? You know, we could go that route if you want. It's more entertaining, probably more uplifting.
It is more uplifting. I had a good round last week.
Nice. On ya.
But it's raining, so that's depressing too. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, if it were only about beating the Bengals and trying to save this season, then it's go to Jameis Winston. I think this offense and Deshaun Watson has reached the point where that would be the best move. You know, they're searching for this elusive spark, and that's where you have a chance to find it, is by switching quarterbacks, especially when the one you're playing is just not been good enough. I understand why they're not going to Jameis Winston, and if you're not going to do that, then I don't know. I thought establishing the run game yesterday was important and a good step. If you're trying to, you know, figure out another way to do it, they ran it 25 times. They ran for 100 yards. First time this season they hit 100 yards. You know, you could get Nick Chubb back this week, which would help, and it takes pressure off Deshaun Watson and takes pressure off the offensive line. But even if that happens, you're still lacking those explosive plays. You're lacking your quarterback getting the ball out in time and seeing the field well enough and making critical plays in the red zone, all the things that keep the Browns from scoring on a weekly basis. So I don't think there's any really quick fix out there. The only option would be to change quarterbacks, and they seem like they're not going to do that.
Scott, I agree with you. At the beginning of the show, that's what I laid out. It's like, okay, you have some things you can do here. And the clear, obvious one, even though I don't think everything is Deshaun Watson's fault, is change the quarterback and give it a different look. If Kevin Stefanski from above was given the okay to make a change at quarterback, would he as a head coach, do you think?
I think he would. I think he would. Now, it's a complicated issue because
it sure is.
It's not just about this game.
No.
And it might not even be about this season. I mean, they owe him. You forget the cash, right? I mean, they owe him $46 million the next 2 years. It's the $73 million cap hit in each of the next 2 years.
Bingo.
That is going to handcuff this franchise. So you need to give – so I don't think it's the wrong philosophy to say we need to give – if you're the Browns, you need to give this guy every chance to succeed. Like, that makes sense to me, and because you're tied to him for 2 years, and if at some point you say it's sunk cost and you have to get rid of him and you have to cut him, you're really setting your franchise back, and it would make it really difficult to win with somebody else as your quarterback and not the guy you're paying that's costing you, you know, $73 million against the salary cap. So I get it. I get keeping him in there. I get all the resources that this organization has given to get Watson and then to try to support him. I mean, they made coaching changes in the offseason to try to get the most out of Deshaun Watson. It's all the decisions since 2022 have been about succeeding with Deshaun Watson. And, you know, I get that these six games have been awful, but it's still only six games. You can say if you're Jimmy Haslam or Paul D. Podesta or Andrew Berry that you got to give it longer, and I understand that, but that's not helping you beat the Bengals. So to answer your question, yeah, if it were up to Kevin Stefanski, you said you get one quarterback to win a game on Sunday, I would think it would be Jameis Winston. But he's part of this organization that is down the Deshaun Watson road, and does not feel like they're ready to abandon that road and say it's, you know, it's over. And until they're ready to say it's over, I think you're going to get a lot of Deshaun Watson.
Scott Petrak, Chronicle Telegram, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Well, Scott, the other side of that, too, is then, I mean, you're kind of teetering on the knife's edge, because at what point does then the locker room turn on you, going, hey, we're not winning and we're not doing anything really that different, at least when it comes to personnel. Is that something that needs to be feared?
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate point. And, you know, I mean, they could make incremental improvements to turn into wins. I'm not saying you can't possibly win a game with Deshaun Watson. They won one this year. You know, the offensive line should get better with Jack Conklin and Jed Wills. But the biggest problem to me is that quarterback. And I think you may raise a legitimate point about the locker room, because I think the guys know that that would be the easiest fix. So I haven't gotten a sense inside there up until, you know, through last week that that was the case. You know, guys publicly are saying the right things about Watson. But that, I think that certainly is a worry and something that is fair to ask Kevin Stefanski about, for sure.
And you'll be doing that at 12:30, and we'll have that press conference right here. I have a hard time looking at anything else on the offense and coming up with any kind of judgment that I'm comfortable with based on Deshaun's play, based on the offensive line injuries. You know, I'd like to say the wide receivers aren't doing the job for him, except is that on the quarterback or is that on the line or is that on the wide receivers? I just think until something gets solidified here, you're not even able to judge it properly, are you, Scott?
No, I think that's a great point, Jeff, and you can point to little things. Amari Cooper probably should catch a third down shallow cross earlier in the game yesterday, and that would extend the drive. It wasn't a great throw. It was high, and it was an easy throw. It was short, but he probably should make that catch. You know, David Njoku catches a ball in the flat, and maybe if he's completely healthy, he breaks that one tackle and beats the guy and picks up a first down. He doesn't look 100%. He's fighting the ankle and the knee. You know, so that you can point to all these little examples. But the quarterback is at the heart of all of those. And I think you're right. He just there haven't been enough opportunities for any of these playmakers to say, to make any kind of conclusion. Jerry Jeudy included, Elijah Moore. Like, there's just not enough plays on offense because they're not converting any third downs. There's not enough shots down the field. There's not enough anything to evaluate these guys. I think you're right. And it does come back to the quarterback, who needs to see the field better, who needs to make quicker decisions and better decisions. And the line hasn't been good. It hasn't been good enough. But Watson is also responsible for a lot of these sacks that he's taking and these pressures. And that's why I think it's so frustrating for everybody else on the offense. I would assume it's frustrating for everybody else on the offense, because I think you can look at some things your quarterback's not doing, guys that are open that he's not throwing to, and going, that's how the game can change, and the quarterback's not changing the game.
Scott, to the defensive side of the ball, it seems like this defense is playing decently enough that it should be winning these games. Do you think that there's elements of improvements that need to take place on this defense, or is it really in good enough shape that if the offense were to just keep it up a little bit, or at least bring it up a little bit higher, they could be winning these games?
I think the defense has played average to slightly above average this season, which is not nearly good enough when your offense can't score 20 points. And I think it's disappointing given the number one ranking from a year ago, everybody coming back, and the high expectations in year two under Jim Schwartz. I thought the defense had a chance to be dominant, and it has not been dominant this season, maybe with the exception of that Jacksonville win in week two. The corners haven't played as well as they have in the past, and Martin Emerson Jr. is the obvious example. He's given up a touchdown the last 2 weeks. I think he's struggled pretty much throughout the season. I also think he's been being put in tough spots, and you know, Schwartz loves to attack, and he loves to play man coverage. That puts a lot of pressure on those guys on the back end, and you need your pass rush to get home often and sooner. And I think that's been an issue. The pass rush, I think the stats are fine, and even the pressure rate is fine. But it feels like in key moments, and you know, the game-changing plays, they haven't gotten the pressure that they need to get. Or, you know, you flash back to that Washington game. You know, JOK has a chance at two sacks, misses Jane Daniels, and those turn into two huge plays. It's those kind of plays that are sinking the defense. And you look at the 45-yard touchdown to Devontae Smith yesterday. They catch the Browns in man-to-man. Greg Newsom's trying to trail him, and there's a traffic in the middle, and he can't. And it's an easy touchdown for them. And the only counter to that is that they can get pressure right off the bat, and they don't. So, you know, I think this defense has a chance to be really, really good, but it has not gotten there yet. And, they, again, they're on the field a ton. Your offense is putting you in tough spots. It does affect how you view every part of this team.
Scott, any chance that by the time Kevin speaks to the media on Wednesday, that ownership, Paul DePodesta, Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski have sat down and have exhaled and said, all right, we've got to try a different quarterback?
Yeah, I think there's a chance. I wouldn't expect it. But I would not rule it out. You know, they're looking to the same things we're looking at. I have not felt any momentum in that direction. I think the organization doesn't feel like it's there yet to do something quote unquote drastic. But I wouldn't rule out, but I'll tell you this, Jeff, what feels to me like more of a breaking point would be they come back from this 3-game road trip. They play Cincinnati on Sunday and Watson gets booed off the field and the Haslams listen to that and watch that. And maybe there's empty seats and that could be a moment where they go, okay, this is as bad as it's going to be. And we don't want to live like this. That feels like something that could happen. I'm not saying it will happen. Maybe they beat the Bengals. But if it goes bad again, the Jameis Winston chance start on the first series, maybe that has the kind of impact that changes things.
Scott, thank you, buddy. We'll listen for you during Kevin's press conference.
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
Scott Petrak joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Clearly, the offense isn't working. Okay? You can point fingers. You can say anything you want. Clearly, the offense isn't working. Clearly, the quarterback is not playing as well as you wanted him to play when you made the big deal for him and gave him the big contract. In most every situation, where's the logical place to start if you're going to make a change, if you're going to try and improve things? It's quarterback if you think you have an option that could do the job, and I think the Browns do. And that's why, at this point, the change that I think you should try to start with, let's see Jameis Winston against the Bengals. Do I think that'll happen? No, I don't.
I agree with you completely. It is easier to change one position than it is to change five positions. It is easier to change one position than to try to remove all of the wide receivers and find other wide receivers. It's the easiest, least overhaul thing that could take place in a short period of time.
The offensive coordinator has been here for 6 games. Obviously, it hasn't worked. You make that move?
I don't know. I mean, the problem is whomever you're going to bring in here at OC, especially with the fact that the OC is not calling the plays, it's not like all of a sudden you're going to get rid of that guy and a brand new offense is going to show up magically the next day.
You wouldn't think so. No.
It doesn't work like that. So I think you kind of have to go your direction, Jeff. You got to go put Jameis in there and see what this thing looks like.
Stefanski's press conference coming up at 12:30. We'll hear it right here. Brian's in Florida. Brian, what part of the state?
I am up in Jacksonville. I was actually at our only victory this year. So.
Well, congratulations.
Congratulations.
We're happy for you.
Yeah, I've been a Watson defender, so as far as emotions and all of this, I feel like the data backs it up. One interesting thing I wanted to mention is now we're to the point where he started 6 games in 2022, 6 games in 2023, and 6 games in 2024. And if you look at the stats, whether it's the completion percentage, the yards per game, the touchdowns versus interceptions, his stats are remarkably similar going back all 3 years and comparing them. So any fall off that's attributed to a coordinator or even a line, I think the common denominator is Deshaun. And second to that, if you go back to 2022, Jacoby Brissett was not mobile. He got sacked 24 times in 11 starts, Watson 20 and 6 starts. And then, you know, same with last year, Flacco was sacked 8 times, not a mobile guy in 5 or 6 games. Watson doubled him up at 17 sacks last year. So there's a common denominator here where I'm not defending the line, but holding the ball and the way that he operates and processes, it makes it in remarkably worse.
And Brian, and that was the MO in Houston as well. He got sacked a lot.
Right. We're to the point now, guys, where I think the one problem here is I feel like we're being gaslit. We're being told that, no, we just need to execute. Cleveland fans are not stupid.
No, they're not.
We've seen this before. Going back to 99, in fact, we're experts at looking at quarterback play and identifying. And I think we're all being frustrated here because we see it with our eyes. And like I said, 3 years, 6 games each year, same exact statistics. How much more of this do we need to continue before we draw conclusions and just move on? So that's my question.
Brian, thank you very much. It's going to take somebody, and don't ask me who. We can assume ownership, because again, you don't bring in a guy like Deshaun with what it took to get him here unless ownership signs off on the deal or insists on the deal, one or the other. And if they insisted on it, fine. I thought you were getting a Pro Bowl quarterback. It just hasn't worked out that way. And so I think that decision has to come from above, because those are the folks we would assume who allowed the move to happen. And at the time, you thought you were getting an upgrade. And it doesn't look like you've picked up an upgrade.
The other side of it, too, is it's not like, and you talk about a sample size. We've got a Deshaun Watson sample size. We have a very big Kevin Stefanski sample size. If there is one thing we could say with certainty when it comes to Kevin Stefanski, he is not going to walk out to the podium and address the media today and go, "My quarterback stinks. I don't know what to tell you. He sucks. Can't read a defense. He holds onto the ball too long. Any questions?" Like, it's not going to happen. That's not Kevin Stefanski. Kevin Stefanski could come out. He's going to say that this is on me. We got to get it fixed. We got to get corrected. We got to work on the penalties. Deshaun, it's going to be the Kevin Stefanski press conference we would hear if they won is the same one that we would hear if they lose. And you love that out of that guy as a consistent message. But, folks, you're not going to have him walk out onto the podium and go, "My quarterback stinks. I don't tell you."
No, you're not going to hear that. Aunt Bev is with us. Hello, Bev.
How are you, Aunt Bev?
Good morning, gentlemen. I am not on the Deshaun Watson train. And people talking about, the young quarterbacks that are doing well. I would ask you one question. What is the difference? The difference is coaching. Who on our coaching staff would you say is doing a good job?
Well, right now, nobody.
But these are the same
folks in most instances that coached you to 11-6 last year, Bev.
I'll say this. Seems like there's enough water and towels all over the place for everybody, so they're doing well.
Wow.
Okay, who? Because Jim Schwartz, our defense was terrible on the road, and someone even said, a player said, that his defense doesn't travel, but I can understand some mistakes, but it seems like we aren't even doing the elementary things correct.
Offensively, Bev, I agree with you completely. Different offensive line coach, different running backs coach, different offensive coordinator. I get that. Defensive side of the ball, you brought back the team pretty much as was. You made a couple of additions. Clearly, they will tell you, I would agree, nobody's doing a great job coaching right now. Nobody's doing a great job playing right now.
So then, was Bill Callahan that important? Because Kevin did hire him. And secondly, on the field, what player has made a great play for our quarterback, to get a spark? Who has made a great play this year on offense?
Bev, that's a real valid question.
Yeah, so part one of that question, there's a lot of theories being flown around. One of them is the Bill Callahan effect. Like, yes, when you have one of the best offensive line coaches ever, there's always a step back that's going to take place no matter who you bring in. The other theory that's being thrown about is by going to a straight drop back, your offensive linemen are too small for the style of offense that you're trying to play with Deshaun Watson.
Which, by the way, if you look at them, makes you laugh.
That's another theory that's being thrown about, that going from, you know, you... you the old Shanahan system, Kubiak system, and all that stuff, where guys that were a little bit smaller and a little bit quicker, and maybe it's just square peg, round hole with the offensive line. Again, that's another theory that's being thrown about.
And the quarterback holding onto the football too long.
Exactly. So that's, three, quarterback holding onto the ball too long.
I can't tell you of anybody who's made great plays on offense to help out the quarterback. I also can't point to the quarterback making great plays to help out anybody on offense.
Yeah, I mean, he has about 1 to 2 throws a game that you're like, man, that was a nice throw.
A heck of a throw.
Yeah, he's got 1 to 2 of them a game.
Scott is in Cambridge, Ohio. Hello, Scott.
How are you, Scott?
I'm better. You know, it is what it is, right?
It is 1-5.
It's 1-5, and it's disgusting. And, you know, I've thought about 100 different scenarios while I've been on wait, but I keep going back to day one of Mr. Haslam coming on the scene and literally told us all, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to strive to bring a winner to Cleveland, and I'm going to do everything I can do in my power to get it right. And from that point on, they were 1-done, 2 years and done. I'm floating this and doing this. Who is being held responsible right now in the front office? Is it going to happen? Is this the year that they fire Andrew Berry for the decision? Someone.
Scott, let me throw this one at you.
Sure.
One issue that I had early on in the Haslam ownership was, and you just said they're going to try everything they can, was the lack of continuity. And they have shown continuity with this front office and with this head coach, and I think it's paid off. It's not paying off now. I think it paid off last year. I think it's paid off over the run that Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry have had together. It's certainly not working now, but I do appreciate the continuity because I do think the head coach is a good head coach. If Kevin were to be let go tomorrow, he would be a head coach in the NFL next year. I really believe that. And if Andrew Berry were let go tomorrow, he would at the very least be somebody's assistant GM until another opportunity came along.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll go to the point to where everyone is talking. Do you bench him? Do you bring a spark to the team? You're 1-5. And someone's decision is going to pay at the end of the year. And I play him. I don't care that he doesn't throw for 200 yards. I play him. Unless he has an injury, I play him, and I do everything in my power to try to win a game. If he's the Kubiak offense, if he's running someone else's offense, he's stubborn, won't give up the play calling. Okay, I get that. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors. We don't know what's going on and shuffling down through. But do something. You have 3rd and 2, and you run a sweep when you have a different quarterback come in and you don't push the pile. You had 2 downs to get a first down.
And Scott, to the guy who's not exactly known for being fleet of foot. That's the problem that I had with that play call. Why are you handing it to Cedric Tillman?
Elijah Moore seemed like a more logical guy there, didn't he?
Jalen Darden would seem like a more logical guy that you could hand that to. Even Amari Cooper seems like a more logical guy that you could turn around and hand that to.
Or leave Deshaun in the game and run a play. A lot of different things you could have done.
I don't even hate the play call, man. I hate the fact that they handed it to Cedric Tillman, of all people.
Zach is in Cleveland. It's a Browns Therapy Monday, Zach. Let her rip.
How are you, Zach?
Yeah, guys, this team should be 0-6. We beat the only other 1-5 team, right? I mean, I think actually there might be one or two other 1-5 teams, but this team sucks, dude. They're awful. Statistic-wise, through 6 games, they're worse than either the 1-15 or the 0-16 team. I mean, they're putting a team out there that looks like, for one, that none of these guys want to play for Deshaun. I mean, I saw guys dipping their heads yesterday too. It's rough. They got to make a change, and like Jeff said, they won't. They can't. And at this point, what do we have to win? So why make the switch? I mean, I'm talking myself out of it almost.
Right.
While I'm on the phone with you guys. What's the point? Let him play it out. And I guess the plus side of him playing it out, there's 2 plus sides to it, right? If he plays it out, we go 1-15, awesome. We get the number 1 pick. If he plays it out and he actually does good, maybe he's a trade piece. Maybe we can trade that contract next year. I guess let him play. Screw it. We have nothing to win for. I mean, there's no way. We're not going to playoffs, guys. It's over. I mean, we have a better chance of winning the World Series as the Guardians this year than the Browns do even trying to sneak into the playoffs. Let's be realistic. And with that being said, go Guards. Beat them Yankees.
There
go
you
Guards,
go.
Baby.
All right, Zach. According to NFL.com, no 1-5 team has ever gone on to win the Super Bowl. No stunner.
No.
But three teams who were 1-5 did make the playoffs.
Okay.
I've caught grief for right. just stating numbers.
What? Yeah.
And you know, to me, the numbers say if you win 8 of your final 11 games and go 9-8, you might have a chance to make the playoffs.
People are taking your statistical facts and thinking that they are your statistical opinions.
Which is not the case at all.
No, they are statistical
facts. Do I think the Browns make the playoffs? No, of course not.
There you go. As I said, the truth.
Would I like them to? Absolutely. But you're 1-5. I mean, it's not. It's so unlikely you make the playoffs at this point at 1-5. It's ridiculous. But folks, we deal with two things here: opinion and fact. And fact is, if you go 8-3 in your last 11 games, which you know we've seen the team play, you wouldn't think so, but you never know.
Highly unlikely.
Exactly. I would agree with that.
Highly
but
unlikely.
But if you do win 8 of your final 11 games, you go 9-8 and you have a chance. So that's my only point with the stats there. Dominic is in Rochester.
All right, Dominic.
Welcome, Dominic.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're okay. Thank you.
You know, health and family are doing well. Can't complain too much.
Of course, you know what state Rochester's in.
Yeah, we know you're a Browns fan and a Yankees fan.
Before I get to the Yankees, let me just say this. As far as I call him Szymanski, if you remember, you know, just count how many times he uses the word better today because it'll make you sick. I don't want to talk about Watson today because Watson stinks. It's that simple. The game has passed him by. Why do we keep talking about it? As far as the football game, I do want to say a word on, and I know refereeing, boo-hoo-hoo, I'm going to be a weenie-whiny, but offensive pass interference, I mean, really? You know, who the hell calls that in that situation? Come on, really?
That was rough. You're right, Dominic, that was rough.
They've been on us since we signed Watson and we monkeyed around with his contract the first year. The NFL's been on us. Anyway, on the baseball, you know I'm usually with you guys every week. I mean, you know, and we're on the same page every week. But let me break the news to you guys. You are not going to beat the New York Yankees, period. You don't have the pitching to beat the New York Yankees. As a matter of fact,
seen that bullpen, Dominic?
Mm-hmm. The Yankees are going to probably celebrate on your field.
Have you seen that bullpen, Dominic?
Were you a part of the group of people who wanted to throw the third best player in baseball into the Hudson River?
Who's this?
That would be Aaron Judge.
No.
Because after listening to that whole group of people going, oh my God, Aaron Judge sucks. He's the worst.
No, I thought that there was something wrong with him in the beginning. No, I thought his foot was still in trouble at the beginning of the year. April was so bad, so very bad. But no, I don't do that. Aaron Judge is not my favorite player, but you know I'm glad we've got him.
I'm thrilled you're not
one of those, Dominic. All right,
Dominic, keep calling, by the way, during the series.
I can respect you. Because that whole group of Yankee fans who were losing their mind, oh, Aaron Judge sucks in October. He's not an October baseball player. Like, all that stuff. You people can all go kick rocks barefoot. Just insufferable Yankee fans.
Greg is in Madison. Hello, Greg.
How are you, Greg?
Brett. Close enough.
Brett. That sounds a lot like Greg. We get these young kids that just bash Bob Costas answering phones. I'm sorry, Brett.
Yeah, I'm good. Something I learned today is Deshaun's mom's name is Bev, because I don't know if she's watching the same game I am, if you guys are. It seems like he's running himself into sacks more than it's the line breaking down, even though they are pieced together. And he's missing people wide open. It's the quarterback. There's something wrong inside his head. he's broken. That's all there is to it. And I was so excited to get him because I'm thinking, hey, this is a good piece.
We saw him in Houston, Brett. He was pretty good. He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was putting up Hall of Fame numbers before he got here. And now, as we look at, Bo Nix has more than 300-yard games than Deshaun has since he's joined the Browns. And it's saddening. It's heart-wrenching to see somebody that was doing so great become so average or even less than average. And the only reason why I even want to make a change is I want to see what we have in DTR. Jameis Winston is not the future of the Browns, okay? DTR, maybe. Let's see what we have in him. That's the only reason why I'd want to make a change, is that we can evaluate him in real games that really matter during the season instead of watching him in preseason.
Brett, thank you very much. The only way we're seeing DTR is if they absolutely just have no chance of making the playoffs. And nothing against DTR. I think he's an interesting young prospect. I don't know that he's your starting quarterback of the future. Just saying. Very few guys taken that late in the draft are. Yes, I know there are some, but I don't think he's...
If you're going in with the thought that DTR is going to be the one that's going to come in here and save this, then I hope you're right. I want you to be right, but boy, I'm not going to Vegas and betting on it.
Mark's in Euclid. Hello, Mark.
How are you, Mark?
Fellas, man, this just sounds so ridiculous, man. I understand the statement you're saying. We need, you know, it ain't all Watson's fault. It's the whole team's fault. But I don't care what quarterback you put in there. If you got leading the league and drop passes, whatever quarterback you put in there, they're going to drop the passes. If your line is no good, whatever quarterback you got back there is going to get sacked.
Not necessarily true on that one, Mark.
Real quick, Mark, on that one. The only other thing that I would throw in, especially with the wide receiver drop passes, is the old Jay Cutler theory, where it's like your quarterback is just rifling it so darn hard that putting somebody in there with some touch might help it a little bit. Not that I'm saying Watson is rifling everything in there. It's just one of those thoughts. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, he goes 6 for 7 yesterday on a drive and get us down to the 3-yard line. And what happens? We get 2 offside penalties. That's nothing to do with him, fellas. I mean, he's going around the corner to get into the end zone, and number 70 don't even block. He missed the block, and his man tackling. I just can't see how another quarterback is going to change these kind of mistakes. I mean, you don't ever get down to the 3-yard line and get 2 offside penalties. That's on the offensive line. I mean, all right, I just
Mark,
don't agree
so,
with
Mark,
all
stop.
That.
That I will agree with
Mark,
you.
Mark, stop. So what are you going to do? You're 1-5.
I don't think it's anything we can do truthfully because I don't think another quarterback is going to get different results.
So what are you going
to
do?
I don't see it. Man, we're going to have to ride this one out. I mean, we need a new offensive line. You change Jameis Winston in there. Interception prone, man. He's going to throw more picks than anybody. He might throw for 400 yards, but he's going to get 4 interceptions.
All right, Mark. Thank you very much.
Oof.
We're going to talk more Browns later on.
Oh.